This morning we're reading from John chapter 15, reading verses 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Sorry, I've lost my place. And that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one other than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
So, we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and some of your study groups will be looking at this book, The Fruit of the Spirit, if you are part of a group there. I say there's a whole long list. There's nine, and it's taken from Galatians chapter 5, and there's nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week we were looking at love. We were looking at how we are made in God's image. So everybody, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, has the potential to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's limited because we are living in a sinful world. And so this is now, we are fallen people, and so we cannot fulfill all of these. And so it's through the Holy Spirit that we can have the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. So we looked at love, and we looked at how love was the foundation of the fruit of the Spirit. On your card, love's at the top. It should be at the bottom. It's a thing that that you couldn't do without love. You can't have peace without love. You can't have joy without love, because God is love. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, where all of the other characteristics are linked to love. But today, we're going to look at joy. The question then is, when was the last time you felt that you were full of joy? I want you just to turn to the person next to you or behind you and just talk about an occasion where you felt that you were full of joy. If you want to, that is. So share your experience with a person just around you. When was the last time you felt full of joy? Okay, I'll call you all to order. So it's not an accident that joy follows love. Joy is second on the list. And it's a byproduct of love. You can't, if you skip love to try and get joy, you will miss real joy. It will just be someone going around with a big cheesy grin on their face and a smile, but it doesn't come from a place of love, and it's a mask, isn't it? And sooner or later, that mask will drop. I think masks are very big in society. It's part of our very polite culture, isn't it? If you're walking down the street and you meet someone, "Hi, Jonathan, how you doing?" The appropriate response is, "Yes, I'm fine, thank you, how are you?" It's not, "Hi, Jonathan, how you doing? Oh, my life is absolutely terrible. Have you got an hour?" It's like, "Oh, no, I've got to do the shopping, actually." It's like you open something that you don't want to open. And in church, I don't know about you, but I have in the past, not so much now, felt the pressure of having to look happy and be happy in church, because you feel that you have to smile, you have to be with a big cheesy grin on your face. And it's a burden. It's a burden, because we live, it's actually false. The Bible wants us to be honest with one another. There's nothing wrong with being sad, because joy is different to happiness, okay? So some of you might be going through a hard time, and you think, "I don't want to go to church, because if I go to church, I have to smile. Or if I go to church, someone's going to ask me how I'm doing. And if I say something is not right, they're going to ask me 1,000 questions about it." But we feel, don't we, that the burden of, "I have to be someone that I'm not when I'm in church, because if I don't smile, if I'm not happy, then people think, oh, there's something wrong with your walk with God." Well, read scriptures. You won't find loads of people smiling through some of the situations that they've been through, and yet they're children of God. Joy and happiness are two different things, and we need to take that burden off our shoulders. Now, joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the characteristic of God. If someone says, "What's God like?" you will say, "Well, God is love. God has lots of joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness." When you become Christ-like, these are your characteristics. You become like Christ. And that doesn't stop till we go home to heaven and the work of Christ is completed. In our reading today, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. But this is the thing. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. If we are Christians, we have a supernatural joy that is in you, because Jesus puts that in you through his Holy Spirit. And your joy may be complete. Not half-hearted joy. Not a little bit of joy, but he wants your joy to be complete. In John 17:13, Jesus says, "I'm coming to you now, But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So there's a joy that, as Christians, not happiness, I'm talking about joy here, there's a joy that you can only have through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, as we are being rooted in God's love. It's not complementary to your joy, to enhance our own joy, which is fleeting, but it's a complete joy. God doesn't do things in half measures. John 10:10 says that Jesus has come to give you and me life, not a little bit of life, not half life, but life in all its fullness. Joy. He wants you to have complete joy. The tragic thing about the world out there, the people out there, the different ideologies, is that sin and temptation wants to take that away from you. If Satan can steal your joy, if Satan can steal your life, he will do. He wants you to be short-changed. Many people think by having this or having that will make you happy. Ever heard that before Christmas? I've always wanted this, Mum. I've always wanted this, Dad. And they get it. And you think, well, if you've always wanted it, you won't need any more Christmas presents for the rest of your life. But you and I know that's not true. Because by next Christmas, that's all gone. They're no longer happy with that one product. They want something else. It's a rat race. That's limited joy. That God can give you something more than that. The joy of the world will never complete you. Only the joy through Christ. Anyone seen The Gladiators is back on television? Anyone put your hand up if you've watched The Gladiators ever? Do you know what I'm talking about? Seriously, no one's kidding each other. This is like people who have got big muscles and they go on stage and you've got contestants and they have to stop the contestant. Well, in the first series, back when I was a teenager, there was a character called Ace. And his name is Warren Furman. And he became a gladiator. And he was given cars for free, clothes for free. He had all the women he wanted. He had everything he could possibly have. He dated Katie Price. He found fame and fortune. But he never felt completely happy until he learned about Jesus at Alpha. In his testimony, he said, I got caught up in the rat race. I thought all these things would make me happy. But he found that after the show was cancelled, there was nothing there. All those things that he thought would make him happy, he was bankrupt when it came to true joy. The only person who can truly complete you with real joy is God. But in a sinful world of death, pain and suffering, we have to have joy. For every Good Friday, when we talk about suffering, every Good Friday, there's always a resurrection. So we all live in a tragic world. And you put on the news, and it's a very dark world. There's a place for God's joy. And we need to show that, because if God, only God can give that joy, people out there don't have that. They need to look at us and think, there's something different about the people of Eastgate Union Church. For every Good Friday, there is a Resurrection Sunday. There's a phrase that I saw as a study, the empty tomb takes away our empty gloom. I think as Christians, I've met Christians who aren't so happy. And they should be. I think some of us are still in Good Friday, where we're living in sadness because our Saviour died. But we need the complete picture. Remember the completeness of joy and life? And the completeness of the story is that Jesus is alive. That's why I don't have Jesus on the cross. You go into some churches and Jesus is on the cross. He's not. That's not the full story. You can't have complete joy without the full story. You can't have life, a complete life, without the full story, which is Jesus is alive. And whatever you're going through now, and you have every right to feel sad if you're going through a tough time, there's nothing wrong with that. But one day soon, you will have your resurrection Sunday, the good news. So to find out joy in the fruit of the Spirit and what it should look like, let's go back to the original word, which is a Greek word. And the thing about when you put sermons together, it makes me feel like you think I know Greek. I don't. I don't know any Greek, really, apart from a few words. So when the Bible says in the fruit of the Spirit and it says joy, what does it mean? Does it mean happiness, or does it mean something different? So as I said, the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you become a Christian, and it starts to change you. In John chapter 3, it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and it comes as a package, okay? You can't pick and choose. I'll have a bit of love and patience, but you know what? With those donuts, I won't have any self-control. You can't pick and choose. Well, I'll have that one, but I won't have that one. It's a complete package. If you want to be like Jesus, that is a complete package. And there'll be some that you're weak on and some that you'll be strong on. Nobody gets it right in all nine departments. In fact, someone said to me, you can use it as a little tick box. Now, which ones have I got? Which ones do I need? It's something to be worked on. So it's important to understand that divine joy is not the same as happiness. So happiness is something that depends on happenings. So if someone gives you flowers, you'll be happy. Who put your hand up if you love flowers? So if someone came in this room and gave you flowers, you would feel, that's nice, that's made my day. But if someone came to you with flowers and said, I've got some flowers, you think, oh, thank you. Oh, do you know who this person is? It's for them. You think, oh. That happened to me once. I went to give some flowers to someone from a church, and I got the wrong address. And I knocked on the door, a box of chocolates, flowers, and the lady and her husband came to the door and said, oh, I don't know who you are, but thank you. I said, oh, is this not the right address? No, no, you should have gone that way. Oh. You can still give me the flowers and no, that is for someone else. I spoilt their day. On a personal level, if Liverpool win, I'm happy. If Liverpool lose, I'm fuming. I'm cross. I'm angry. That's happiness. Joy is different. It's unaffected by outward circumstances. In fact, it usually thrives best when times are tough. It is God's supernatural response to this dark world and the devil's attacks. So one of the most powerful witnesses that a Christian has is when the world sees you struggle in a place of struggle, whether you've got an illness, whether you've got cancer, whether you've had hardships and you've lost someone that you love, but they see something different in you because they don't have that. But they look at you and think, there's something different about that person. It's a very powerful witness. The Greek word for joy then in Galatians 5 is chara. But if you just say chara, C-H-A-R, it's derived from the word charis. And charis is the Greek word for grace. Grace is something that you don't... Sorry. Yeah, grace is something you get that you don't deserve. So when it talks about chara, God is giving you something that you can't get by yourself. And you don't deserve, but God wants to put that in your life. This means that joy isn't human-based happiness that comes and goes, or something that we can produce that is permanent. Rather, joy is divine in origin and spirit-given. and it shines brightest when times are dark. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the middle of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." The Thessalonians faced their pain, faced their tough times through the joy that the Holy Spirit gave. The best this world can offer is temporary happiness. But when the seed of God has been placed inside of you, the divine seed produces joy. This is supernatural joy and will sustain you even through your hardest times. So there's 2 points I just want to bring about joy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, okay? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You have something the world doesn't have. It is supernatural. In the book of Nehemiah, when Ezra the priest read God's word to the people wept because they realized how far away they were from God and keeping his commands. In their weakness, Nehemiah speaks. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared, and send to those this that people haven't had prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So from a place of sadness, the people were encouraged to celebrate, not because of anything that they had done, but because God is good. So don't be down. The joy of the Lord is your strength. As followers of Christ, our joy is Jesus and the life he has given us. That joy is therefore tied in our hope and assurance. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne." We may feel down and overwhelmed, but fix your eyes on Jesus and the joy set before you, which is fellowship with God, a place in heaven, a place with Jesus. You all know the story from Acts 16, when Paul and Silas, they were put in prison, weren't they? But their hope and confidence were in the Lord, and that inner joy allowed them to sing and pray. And the second point and last point, let joy move you. Okay, let joy move you. King David wrote in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." David sinned. He wasn't right in his relationship with God, but he said to God, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Do you remember the day you met Jesus? Do you remember the day when you had faith? Did you recall the joy, the excitement? Testimonies at baptisms are amazing, aren't they? Who's ever heard an amazing testimony at a baptism? When someone decides to get baptized, they want to tell the world, "I'm free. I have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is incredible." For some of you, the joy of finally understanding the love that God has for you brings freedom. For those who were told you're no good, you're rubbish, Dumbo. My dad used to call me Dumbo, by the way, not because of my ears. These are curses. Words hurt us. But that moment you understand, Jesus loves me. I am not rubbish. I'm a child of God. Brings you joy. It breaks, and you can weep. You can cry because you've had that. Words of curses replaced by words of blessing, by knowing who you are in Christ, that you finally have a faith. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John came across a beggar that couldn't walk. Do you remember that song, Peter and John went to pray? Well, they met a lame man on the way, and they had no money, but they say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He went away full of joy because of Jesus. He said, I have a relationship with Jesus. I am so happy. Some of us have forgotten that day. Some of us have forgotten that day. Some of us need to remember, reflect on the time that you met Christ. Some of us have become dry. Christianity has just become dry theology. Some of us become religious. It's about the religion. Maybe some of us need to pray the words of David. Restore the joy of your salvation. Make us fresh again, Lord. And finally, let's look at the words that we looked at in John 15. Verse 9 of John 15, Jesus actually says, so I have loved you. This was an important verse to me. I remember once getting cross with God. Yeah, God loves the world. I hear it all the time in church. Yeah, it's very general, isn't it? Yeah, God loves the world. Yeah, but where does it say that he loves me? And here we have it in verse 9 in John 15. He says, so have I loved you. Verse 15, Jesus calls us friends. And here's an important one to do with the fruit of the Spirit. I chose you and appointed you. What did he choose and appoint you for? To bear fruit. To bear fruit. It's not just a list. He's chosen you to live in your life to produce fruit. And that can only happen if we're right with God and we remain in Christ. Go and bear fruit. Let's be rooted in Christ. Let his joy be our strength. And let his joy move us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can have that relationship with you. Lord, if we've forgotten that joy of salvation, that knowledge that you are now living in us, that you've saved us from death, Lord, restore to us the joy of your salvation. Lord, let your joy, let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, if we're struggling through dark times, help us not to carry that burden of having to smile all the time and be happy, but just to rest and know that we have hope in you. So help us, Lord, to go and bear fruit. Amen.